guide to the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Time permitting, if we have time, we get to whatever text are remaining. No guests tomorrow booked yet, so I'll figure that out as the day proceeds, especially with based upon what's going on in Montgomery right now. But more on that after a while. Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to bring on member from the representative for the 2nd Congressional District and likely soon member for the 1st Congressional District after 2025, but Barry Moore from Enterprise, Congressman from Enterprise, joins us now. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, we are doing fine. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, doing well. A lot of chaos in the world right now. You and I are talking off air about Trump and his trials. What do you make of these? I'm surprised how much the left of center media is, how much attention they're giving here. But these protests on these college campuses against Israel are kind of off-putting, especially you see so many Palestinian flags being waved around. What do you make of this?
Well, it's obviously troubling. I think that it shows you the situation, I think, in a lot of cases that our universities are the just the mindset and the fact that most of these people don't know their history. I mean, if they really understood their history, they would understand that if you're standing with Palestine and Hamas, you're basically standing with a terrorist organization. And they've attacked the Jewish people this time. And in the 40s, they came after them. And so it's odd to me that they're blocking these Jewish students from going on campuses, which is very reminiscent of what was happening back with the brown shirts back in the day. And so, to me, it shows me how morally bankrupt we are, how little we know about history in this country. And, we're not happy about it. Those of us who think there shouldn't be one dime of federal money going to these universities that are propping up these kind of organizations and allowing these Jewish students to be discriminated against. We've had hearings in the Judiciary Committee about this very thing. But not only that, I encourage my, and while they're patting you on the back, they're just looking for a place to stick the knife. And we need to make sure that we stand with our Jewish friends, the nation of Israel. They're our allies in the region. And look, man, it's so frustrating to me. I see these protesters up here talking about stop the genocide in Gaza and blah, blah, blah. Well, good grief, man. We know there's 22 Arab nations. There's 52 Muslim states. There's only one Jewish state. You tell me who the bully is in the region. They've got a very small footprint over there, and yet somehow they cannot exist in peace because it will not be allowed. So we need to understand that they're going to be a target, and we need to stand with them as an ally.
Congressman, I'm sure you're aware, and there's a lot of news about it this morning, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, your colleague, and her motion to vacate with Speaker Johnson, what's going on there? Where are you on this?
Well, initially, and my thoughts were, when she first did it, Jeff, I thought it was a shot across the bow, because we had some pretty important votes coming up last week. And Marjorie introduced this thing a couple weeks before about this foreign aid package and securing the southern border. And so I understand the frustration that she's feeling, because just like last week when we did the foreign aid, we should have tied the border security to that. Instead, I had to do a separate debate on the floor for the border to secure our U.S. southern border, but it was not tied to the rule that also funded Ukraine. And see, that's the thing that Speaker Johnson's making mistakes. He is not really, we've given him spots to land on some of this stuff, and he just has not taken them. I mean, we like, sir, please don't reauthorize FISA. You can make that decision. We still brought it to the floor, and it still got reauthorized to allow the FBI to continue to spy on U.S. citizens without warrants. Those are the kind of things that he should have and could have prevented being Speaker. And then when you couple that with the failure to secure the border last week in a separate rule, and then another $61 billion to Ukraine, tying that to the Gaza money that was also tied into the Israel money, it's so terrible, the stuff that he's allowing to happen. I think that's, I understand Marjorie's frustrations. I don't know that the timing right now is good. I think they need to work a deal, not for him to be removed maybe, but cut a deal behind the closed door somewhere with leadership and say, hey, you need to resign. I think that's the pressure that's being applied. If you're not going to do the job, step down. Let's go ahead at the conference, agree who we want to replace him, and have the deal done and not have a vacant seat going into November.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore. here on the program. You know, I was talking about this, and this is like the ability of Donald Trump to defy gravity. He's facing all of these pitfalls coming at him in every direction. And I was saying this to like my listeners day before yesterday, like, he's twice impeached. He's got like 20 court cases or something crazy. He's got everybody bearing down on him, and he had a very hostile, like almost angry, hateful media. Yet here he is in a lot of polls ahead of Joe Biden, ahead of the incumbent president. And you got to think, what a time in American history would this have ever been possible, that someone is as damaged and been through everything that this president's been through is able to maintain a lead as he has over an incumbent president.
Yeah, it truly, I know, and you've been in the media for a while, me just being involved in politics, watching this unfold, I'm like you, man, what an amazing time. And I'm not saying it's a great time, but I'm just saying it's an interesting time to observe. Here's a man who for years was loved by Hollywood. And, you know, even the Democrat politicians, you see him in all the photos, a lot of the minority leaders in the world. I mean, this guy was loved in New York. He got, I don't know how many cameos in Hollywood movies all the time. He was a businessman who, I think by all intents and purposes, was pretty well loved by most of America. He was well known. But the minute he won that seat and he was kind of outside the system turned on him, including the media, including the establishment, even within our own party, but certainly the left in this country. But I think they were all surprised by the support that he had from populist America, where the people just, man, they wanted to support him, and they saw him, you know, and as brash as he can be sometimes, people love honesty, and you don't get a lot of that in D.C. You don't get a lot of that from the media. He would just speak what we were all thinking a lot of times, and I think people just, they appreciated the honesty. They may not have appreciated the way he said it, but I think, Jeff, it's indicative of, as he gets attacked, they see it as an attack on us as America, not just him as a former president. And I think that's the thing, like we've talked about, his 77-year-old businessman in New York had never even been charged with a felony. He's leading in the polls. He has 91 felony indictments all of a sudden. It looks political. For all of us who've got a single brain cell, we know it's political. The way that they're pulling this stuff out from years past, and you got these state prosecutors who most of them are Soros appointed or paid or put in place. I mean, it just tells you how political this thing is and how corrupt it is. And I think the American people see it for what it is. And I love that the minorities in the country are starting to wake up and say, hey, we understand we're going to identify with Donald Trump. And even the unions now are making announcements. It's incredibly encouraging to me to see America waking up, and even groups who would normally wouldn't be necessarily together are lining behind this individual.
Well, tell me this, and I know you're one congressman out of 435, and we're watching this play out. It's not a good time in American history. The system to be able to do this and be weaponized against somebody, I mean, I wouldn't feel good about it if it were Republicans doing this to a Democrat. It wouldn't feel like a very stable win. I mean, honest or whatever you want to call it, but a long-lasting win if they had weaponized the judiciary in a way that's being used against Donald Trump. What do you do to correct this?
Well, I think you have to clean house. I think we know there were 51 intel assets that signed on a letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was just Russian disinformation. I think the system at so many levels in D.C. is corrupt. And that's why I don't understand we reauthorized FISA. Why would we fund the FBI for our new headquarters? These things that I've been speaking out against, as I have these hearings in judiciaries, we get these witnesses, whether it's Merrick Garland or Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, Durham and his report, how sobering what was going on within our own intel agencies. These agencies are supposed to be looking out of America to the enemy. They're supposed to be looking offshore. Instead, the system has turned and weaponized against the political enemy of the sitting president. And that, to me, is concerning, Jeff. And I think we have to look at the purse strings. I've said this before. Not only that, if Donald Trump wins, which I think he will, I think he absolutely has to come out with almost blinders on and clearing this system up and drain this swamp and cut this bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., divest it and move it out into rural America, because this system is a cancer that no longer represents the United States of America. It doesn't represent the American people. And it's everybody is being taken care of except the U.S. citizens and our own southern borders and people, the people that we want to elect as officials. They become the targets of the very system that's supposed to be protecting them. And so I think it's something that we have to look at. And I think Donald Trump needs to come in. And we need to take a hatchet to this place and clean it up. And it's going to take some courage. And it's like you and I were talking about off air, Jeff. It's going to be bumpy if he wins. But it's either going to be a bumpy defending of the nation or a smooth transition of losing the country. And there's no in between. We have to engage in this fight. He is the man for this time. We better get behind him. People better recognize it for what it is. It's not them against him. It's them against you.
Well, here's the scary part of this, that it comes to that. I remember when Trump was elected in 2016 and immediately after, Chuck Schumer, media people like Andrea Mitchell, Nancy Pelosi, you don't want to get on the bad side of the intelligence community. No, you don't want to pick a fight with the intel community. They ended up being right in the long run. If Trump comes in, and he's got this renewed spirit, and he wants to reform and clean up this administrative deep state, it's going to push back. And then it's going to get, I mean, that's where this is going to get really ugly, really contentious. And, I mean, like, what's the country going through this going to be like, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I was here in 2017 in January when the man was sworn in, and they were setting cars on fire and breaking out windows. In Washington, D.C., before the man had ever been, the day he was being sworn in. So my thoughts are, look, the system does not want him here. For that reason, we need him here. And I think that's just, man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be bumpy. But I think the American people, those of us in the country who have seen this and observed what's going on, we realize that what's at stake. And those of us who don't need to wake up, because, again, it's the system will certainly push back. Like you said, he's been impeached, man. He's been tried. They're trying to break him through. So they're doing everything he can to destroy him, because he really does speak for the populace in America, not so much the system anymore. And the fact that he don't need them, they can't stand that. But he's going to have to do what he's got to do. But I've never seen him back away from a fight. That's one thing that's encouraging. The man, I'm not saying he's always right on every fight, but I've never seen him back away from one. And if we will get behind him, and certainly it's indicative on the people in the United States to get us a majority in the Senate and a majority in the House so they can't impeach him day one, because they'll start the same old crap. We've got Joe Biden here for 3 years. We haven't impeached him yet. And they day one will impeach Donald Trump if the Democrats have the House. We have to make sure we hold the House. We have to get the Senate. And we have to clean this. Jeff, we say this all the time, but you and I know this to be true. At least I believe it is. There's not a more important election in our lifetime than the one we're facing right now.
I mean, you look at it, though. We know about Lisa Page and Peter Stroke. We know about, like you mentioned, the Durham report and what went on there. We know all these bad things that have happened. We know what James Comer and Jim Jordan are looking at, and when they go on air and they talk about it, special treatment for Hunter Biden. And we know all of, I think we just, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's probably a lot more there. We know about it, yet nothing is. It's almost like a congressman. It's almost like an indignation from the intel community. Yeah, we did that. What are you gonna do about it? Something you can do about it. We run the show here. Not your silly Congress. Not your silly White House. We're in charge here. That's kind of a scary notion when it comes down to it.
And the frustrating thing to me is you're saying this just last week was the Pfizer reauthorization, and I held a line on a no for this, because I'm like, why on earth would he reauthorize the FBI to spy on U.S. citizens with this Intelligence Surveillance Act without a warrant? And yet, it's not just the silly intel agency, or the intel agency, as you say. It's within Congress, our own guys. They're like, oh, well, you know, they need this to make sure to keep us safe. Man, that system is not working for the American people. It's not keeping us safe. It's being used to keep us controlled. And so I think we have to make sure that we continue to send people here. My class was a pretty good class in 2020. House Freedom Caucus is growing. Most of us were like, no way are we reauthorizing Pfizer. My number one job, Jeff, and we need to send people to D.C. to remember this, is to protect your liberty. That's it. I mean, Every time we increase taxes, that reduces your ability to choose. Every time we reauthorize FISA, that allows the government to spy on you. All these things we do that continue to centralize power, we've got to have courageous leaders in this city who will say, I don't care what the Intel Committee says. I don't care what the Speaker. We need to hold the line and start protecting our liberty because, my friend, it's fading fast in this country, and we need to wake up to the fact that it is. And the Intel Agency may think they run the show, but if we could just get somebody in the White House over there right now and a few more of us here in D.C. to fight, I honestly think we can turn the tide, but it is going to be tough. It is going to be bumpy. And if you don't think they're not going to go quietly, that's the troubling thing is they're not going to go quietly, but we do not have, we kicking and screaming. We need to kick them out of here, man. They got to be gone.
Well, last question. We'll get you out of here on this. You mentioned needing to win Congress and what that looks like. What does that look like? You got your race behind you for the most part. I know you have a Democrat opponent in November, but that shouldn't be too terribly difficult. But beyond that, Congressman, what does it look like for numbers in the Freedom Caucus? What does it look like in general, you think, for Republicans? Do you feel good about the House races?
Yeah, I think we've got some candidates, obviously, we're trying to help around the country in House Freedom Caucus and conservatives who we think will line up with us on our votes. And in a sense, our ideologies of less government is better. And more liberty is certainly more productive. And so I think that the Senate looks good for us. Jeff, from what I'm hearing, the chances are we'll probably pick up the Senate. And I think the House, the last polling and the information I had from some friends of ours a few weeks ago is that we would probably pick up the House as well. And I certainly expect Trump to win the White House. So, but I think the thing with him at the top of the ticket, there's going to be a lot of voters that show up and vote. They'll pull some more Republicans in. In other words, they'll coattail on Trump. So, because you're seeing this minority thing, you're seeing the shifts. He's polling probably higher in minority communities than any Republican president in my lifetime. And that's with Hispanics and blacks. And then when you saw the union folks come out in New York a few weeks ago and say, we're tired of the crime. We're tired of the immigration. We're tired of the taxes. We're tired of our border being wide open. We're tired of our jobs being taken. And we're tired of inflation. I think that even the Democrats, the unions who were typically heavy Democrats, are moving towards Trump. And that's in New York, man. The Dems are in big, big trouble. I think they see it. And I think they need to prepare to move Biden out of the White House. I think things are about to change.
Congress, we got to leave it there, but you're always very kind to make time for us. Let's do it again real soon.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
All right, Congressman Barry Moore, 2nd Congressional District. We got to get a break here. We will return. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son.